It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed at the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had a million dollars.
If I had a million dollars.
If I had a million dollars.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Larry. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I could use a little sleep.
Yeah, sleep is definitely overrated.
Overrated. I'm glad it's not important because since I'm lacking it, I should be okay then, right?
That's right. I have plenty of things over here to throw at you, so it's okay.
Just let me nod off. You can run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Friday morning, here we are again, getting ready to put the show together for tomorrow. And anything going on out there in the world, John?
No clue. It's, you know, like I said, I'm sleep deprived. But I heard something about some inauguration.
Yeah, I think there is something going to be on the news today.
Whether you're left or right, Democrat, Republican, it is an amazing thing to think. We take so much for granted here in the United States that you can have a transfer of power, even though you're going from one opinion, should you say, to a different opinion, political philosophy, and it's a peaceful transfer of power. I mean, look at all the other countries that have civil wars, coups, I mean, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of violence. And here for hundreds of years, we've transferred the power peacefully.
It is a pretty amazing thing that you can actually go from one contingent to the other with minimal disruption in terms of the country and a lot of the regulatory issues out there, although they do change from time to time. And I think we're going to see a little of that after today.
You know, I think Reagan, I heard a quote that Reagan quoted, and he said that the transfer of power is so commonplace and miraculous at the same time.
It is. And so, it's much to do about everything because today will dictate the direction of the country and the direction of the country relating to the rest of the world for at least the next 4 years and potentially the next 8 years. I guess that's yet to be seen down the road, although it seems to me after today the next election process starts already.
I know. That's the hard part is, you know. But it is what it is, as they say.
It
and
is.
So our topics for today. The in the market section, which is what we'll be coming up on here shortly, we're going to talk about the stock market. And we had a huge run-up late last year, on anticipation of the new administration being more business-friendly and so forth. But now we're seeing some pullback. And the first quarter is going to be important because we're going to be looking at corporate earnings a lot. All that run-up last year was based on emotion, and the way markets work is they react on emotion and then they pull back to reality. So if we have poor first quarter numbers for a lot of companies, you're going to have a pullback. And I have several articles here from MarketWatch that talk about the Trump rally optimism is fading fast. Investors are breaking for a massive stock market sell-off. And then gold's lustrous rise in 2017 may be the best sign Trump rally is fading. I never understood the gold thing. Like they say, got to have gold bars. Now, if the world goes into a disaster, how do you spend your gold? I always tell people, if you're going to have gold bars, you better have a whole lot of lead.
Yeah.
You're going to need something to protect your gold bars. Because at that point, when society breaks down, the gun, the bullet, and lead are going to probably be more valuable than your gold bars.
Yeah, I was going to say, your lead is not talking about having a line safe to protect the gold. I don't know. Gold is gold and silver. You know, you hear a lot of hype on the radio. Anytime I hear a lot of hype from a lot of advertisers consistently, I get a little wary because they are out for one thing, and that is to sell whatever product is they're hyping. So you have to really evaluate what the underlying meaning, what the underlying gold is. I mean, gold and silver, certainly some of the mutual funds, the ETFs, may have their place, a small place, in a well-allocated portfolio. But if you look back over time, it's really no different than the rest of the market. It goes up and it goes down, just depending on what's going on in the world. And I think a lot of the news that we're getting today and tomorrow and probably next week are the naysayers who are hoping, if nothing else, for a Trump fizzle in the market. The run-up was emotional. Certainly, the marketplace, as far as small businesses, is much more optimistic than it has been in the last 8 years. And business owners are looking at how they can hire more employees, how they can reward employees for the work done and maintain employees, because that's the business we're in. Part of our business, John, is, as you all know, in terms of providing 401k and profit-sharing plans to business owners and them making maximum contributions. We're talking to all of those who finished up a stellar year in 2016, believe it or not, and who are now looking at how much money can they put into their retirement plan for the benefit of the owners as well as all of the employees. So it was not a bad year, and I think the run-up has been partially justified in terms of the pure optimism because the market is emotional. We know that. We talk about that all the time. But nevertheless, as we've shown in history, looking at the mountain charts going back to the Great Depression, and I'm talking about the one back in the 20s.
You remember that time?
Yeah. Well, I did hear stories about that. And the fact that it didn't matter whether you invested as long as you invested. It's about how much money you put away for retirement, not how you invest the money necessarily. Because if you don't put it away, you're not going to get there. I had a call from a participant in a plan this week, and her question was very valid. She's like, you know, would you mind checking for me to make sure I'm putting the necessary amount in to maximize getting the match from my employer? I did check, and she's not. She's putting 4% in. Her employer will match up to 5%. So she will be raising her contribution to the plan to 5% to get the employer contribution of 4%. All of a sudden, voila. I like that word. Voila, John. She's at 9%, which gets her a long way to the 12 to 15% she needs to be putting away for a 30-something-year-old at this point to have enough money to retire on when you're looking 30, 40 years down the road. So I digress. Not that I ever do that, but
Not at all.
I think a lot of the news.
I'm going to bring a cane and keep it in here in the studio and pull you back.
He's too far away to kick me under the table, so I think there's a border down there anyway. But yeah, I think a lot of the news is moving negative because that's what the news wants to see happen. I don't think necessarily that is what's going to happen, because if we look back to January of 2016. Both January and February, we had a miserable start to the year, and I'm not sure that that had any direct correlation to what was going on in the economy, but we'll see what happens after today.
So what we're looking at is, as I go through these articles and I talk about, you know, the run-up and now it's fading fast and so forth, the key is, and the topic that we've been talking about for the month of January, is the individual planning aspect. In order to be able to handle these short-term blips and volatility, you need to make sure you have a financial plan in place. You need to make sure that you're sticking to your financial plan and that you're properly diversified. Yes, your portfolio will go up and down, but if you're adequately diversified and you have a proper portfolio, over time, things will work out in your favor and we don't have to focus so much on the weekly blips, because I'm telling you right now, the market is going to be bumpy in 2017, and we can't take those short-term swings in the market and make our investment decisions based on that, because any financial decision based on emotion is wrong.
It's a bad decision. It's stay the course. You know, find out first what your course is,
exactly,
as we're talking for the month with your financial plan and the steps that we're going to be talking about as to what a financial plan report ought to contain. In our next today in the next show. But stay the course. You can't react. You know, talk to your advisor, find out what their thoughts are, certainly. And if you're on track to where you ultimately were heading with what you're doing, then stay the course. That's the word of that's the three words of today. Stay the course.
Yes, in one of the articles here, Trump rattled the stock market because he wants to weaken the dollar, and we will be talking about that specifically on our next show in the market segment. Now that we're wrapping up the in the market segment, it's time to go to the topic of the day. And the topic of the day is, I found an article, Larry, that I thought was pretty interesting. It was called 20 Reasons. I don't know how they limited it to 20, but 20 Reasons Why You Need an Emergency Fund. And the topic of the day is brought to us by The Chef Shop.
The Chef Shop, located in Edwardsville. If you haven't been there, shame on you. You're missing it. It is in the plaza next to Schnucks and by Target in Edwardsville at 2320 Troy Road. Phone number 618-659-9840, chefs.shop at prodigy.net. They still have a lot of, well, I won't say a lot. They still have some of the Christmas items out there at after Christmas specials, so go and check that out. If you, this week, there was one day, it was National Popcorn Day. Did you know there's a National Popcorn
Day,
John? It was yesterday. It was Thursday. If you went in, bought some popcorn, you got a free bag of popcorn. Free, absolutely free. No cost. And if you mentioned a Chef Shop, you'd also get a free t-shirt, but we haven't mentioned that in a while. So
we don't count.
Yeah, we don't count. And today, as far as the coffee is concerned, I'm kind of hanging on to the holidays. I had such a good time over Christmas and New Year's and celebrating different aspects of it that I stuck to Snickerdoodle for the coffee today. I made it when I got up this morning, and that is just kind of a refreshing, it's an award-winning choice. It is the best seller. We'll have to see how it does in 2017, but for 2016, it is the best seller that Chef Shop has. It's blended spicy flavors of cinnamon, John's favorite, hazelnut, and has a smooth aromatic finish. So I'm a big fan of Snickerdoodle. It is available year-round, and I definitely keep a pound or so of that in the closet, freshly ground and ready to make. So get out to the Chef Shop, say hi to Scott and Nancy, ask for your t-shirt. It's free, it doesn't cost you anything. You just have to go ask for it. And then check out everything. Check out the fudge, check out the popcorn, certainly the coffee, my favorite. So give them a holler.
So what is an emergency fund? And actually, when I was reviewing this, I got that song stuck in my head. I'm in for that song, Emergency.
Ah.
So I'm not going to sing it because you could pull it off, but I have a voice for the shower. But this
we'll be talking about showers later, I think, John.
Great segue.
Yeah, you like that?
Huh? My crazy story for today. But 20 reasons why you should have an emergency fund.
Just in case of an emergency.
Exactly. Emergency. But essentially, I mean, the rule of thumb is 3 to 6 months of expenses you should have set aside into a money market, something very safe that if something were to happen, the rainy day fund is a way of putting it, but something were to happen, you have that money set aside, and you forget about it until the rainy day comes. Hopefully it doesn't, but it's not part of your retirement portfolio. It's not part of, I mean, it'd be part of your net worth and so forth, but it really is one of those things that you set up. You set it and you forget it.
Set it and forget it. I like that. And I have always encouraged people, there is no one goal to implement necessarily, but probably the first thing that a young individual particularly might want to consider, like John's kids, would be to start an emergency fund as early as possible. And even for a kid, you know, if they could put away 25 or 50 bucks just to have, you know, in case they need to replace the slot car, you know, the axle gets broken or whatever it happens to be. But as a teenager, as a college student, certainly as a college graduate, one of the first things you need to start doing is putting a portion, maybe 5 to 10% of your income away, and until you build that emergency fund that will cover, oh, I had a blowout, I need new tires. Or, well, I won't steal any more of John's thunder, but emergency fund is that that account that you have set aside. It doesn't see a lot of ups and downs in the market. It is stable, doesn't make a lot of money, but that's okay. But it is there for when you need it.
Yeah, I was going through this list, and it's, well,
pretty exhaustive, I'm sure.
And number 12, I've never happened. I never gotten evicted from my apartment. But you lose your job. Actually, I was I lost a job right before Declan was born. I'm sorry, right after Declan was born. He was born in February. I was canned in April and didn't find a job until I actually started at the bank. It was July 1. So there I am with a new baby.
April, May, June. Three months. There's your 3 months emergency.
But here, you know, I've been, now that we don't escrow our property tax, come September, it's like, oh man, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. So that has happened to me. This, you or your partner unexpectedly get pregnant. Well, it wouldn't be me, but
I don't think it's going to be her.
But anyway, you know, we have four kids. So to say that every one of them was
planned
was right on. Actually, our doctor told us that, it's not an unwanted pregnancy. It's an untimely pregnancy. Marlena is 13 and a half months behind Declan. So almost an Irish twin.
13 and a half months. Okay. Got it.
So, and you know, we both were really shocked that one happened. You find yourself with a debilitating illness. I did find out in my 30s that I have type 1 diabetes, but from a financial standpoint, it didn't impact me. But I mean, that's probably the biggest one is medical expenses nowadays.
Let's talk about medical expenses for a moment. I will.
Number five just happened to me this week. You start your car in the morning and nothing happens.
Yeah. And what was the problem with your car, John?
The kids left the sliding doors ajar and the battery was dead.
I still don't get over it. Why is a sliding door ajar?
I don't know.
There's no punchline. I just had to throw that out there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, they left the sliding door open.
Okay, got it.
Slightly.
Slightly.
It wasn't wide
to
open.
Leave
it
the light
slightly
on.
Mm-hmm. So I thought ajar was the appropriate word for that.
It is, but it just, I laugh when, you know, your door is ajar. Well, it looks like a door to me. It doesn't look like a jar. I don't know. Moving right along.
I've had no sleep, and this is what I have to deal with, folks.
You're so lucky.
So what were you going to say?
I was going to say about medical expenses that there are more ways to skin a cat. Sorry.
I have dogs.
In terms of medical expenses, the emergency fund is a good place to start, setting aside a little cash if you have a copay, if you have you know, some deductibles that you have to pay. That would be somewhere that could be sourced from. More importantly, particularly as you age, if you have an HSA, a health savings account approved health plan, one in which the deductible, if I remember the numbers correctly for 17, is at least a $2,600 deductible. There's no first dollar pay in terms of copays and whatnot. And it allows you to put away the contribution on a pre-tax basis. And I would strongly encourage those who can afford it to take full advantage of an HSA account, putting your money in. It's kind of like putting it into an IRA, but you can take it out at any time as long as it's used for health expenses, including the growth. You never pay tax on it. So HSA accounts are wonderful. And as people near retirement, up until the age that you actually do retire and go on Medicare, then or take Social Security, you can participate in an HSA account. So that's a good way of putting money away pre-tax, saving those tax dollars, allowing it to accumulate tax-free until such point that you do need to use it for medically related expenses.
Not to help support your tangential conversations, but what is the difference between an HSA and an FSA?
Well, there are a number of differences, John.
You see the smile that came over his face.
I was waiting for that. HSA is a health savings account. The key factor, the money you put in, is pre-tax money. It accumulates and can be used without paying tax for medical related IRS-approved medical-related expenses. The real key is an HSA will roll from year to year to year. So if I don't use any of my contribution this year, then it rolls over to next year, and I add next year's, and then the next year's, and the next year's. So all of a sudden, I have a pool of asset, which may be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever, sitting there for medical expenses down the road, if and when I need them, without ever paying tax on the money or the growth. The flexible spending account, or FSA, the key difference is the money that you allocate. You have to designate at the beginning of your year how much money is withheld pre-tax, also out of your paycheck, to be put into your FSA account. It used to be originally it had to be spent by December 31st of that year, or you would lose it. It was a use it or lose it proposition. Now they've extended it into the following year. You have until the end of a month or month and a half after the end of the year to use it. But again, it has to be used in the year. So the challenge, and I was under an FSA account at one point a number of years ago, is projecting how much you're going to need for that year in terms of, you know, new glasses, dental work, medical. And if you put too much away and you didn't have any need in those related areas, then basically you just threw the money away, which is never a good thing. So I much prefer HSAs over FSAs.
But, I mean, both are a good way to put some money aside, kind of your emergency fund for medical expenses.
It's a good part of it.
Let's see. Number 8 is brutal. You get hit by a car and are bedridden for several months. I'm surprised that one. I guess there's more people getting hit by cars. I thought this was going to be kind of like a top 20, but I guess they just randomly came up with things that are unexpected.
Well, the unexpected happens. I can think of two examples just within the last 60 days of friends of ours. One was actually heading home from an event locally, and they were in their truck, fortunately for them, and a individual was in a hurry and wasn't paying attention, probably on the phone, talking to someone, and approached the back of another vehicle, knew they were not going to be able to stop, so they swerved out into oncoming traffic and hit my friends head on. Totaled their truck, totaled her car. She was airlifted to the hospital and is recovering. They are still dealing with medical issues. That was totally an unexpected expense. Fortunately, they did survive, and hopefully long-term won't have any related long-term medical issues. The other example are just accidents, you know, stuff we call them accidents because they certainly aren't predicted, but they happen, and you have to deal with it. Another individual, a very, very wonderful young lady, was gathering Christmas decorations for the holiday, and she was up on a ladder, I understand, from her talking to her father, about 10, 12 feet in the air, lost her balance, but the ladder didn't come down. She fell backwards, trapped her leg between the rungs of the ladder, broke her leg and was hanging upside down from the ladder, broke her leg in several places, damaged her ACL. In fact, she underwent surgery this week, and she is a sole proprietor, so she's running a business. If she's not there, there is no income to the business, and that's a real hardship. So it talks about, you know, having an emergency fund. Fortunately, she has great family support. She does have a business partner who is doing her best to carry on in the recovery period, which might be as much as 6 to 9 months. But it does touch on another topic that I wrote down on one of the cheat sheets we use here, and that's disability insurance. She is an individual who should have had a good disability policy that would have kicked in after, say, 30 days and provided enough income to offset the amount of money that she spends for her routine expenses for that, you know. I recommend a DI policy that lasts for at least 2 to 3 years because the average disability, unless it's catastrophic, falls into that range. So stuff happens. And when stuff happens, one less thing that you want to have to worry about is how am I going to make payments on the power, on the heat, on the food, on everything else, living expenses, rent, et cetera. So having an emergency fund is a good component, but also having disability insurance, which I've carried throughout my life, fortunately didn't need it. My brother, I'll talk about him, no longer with us, but he had DI throughout his life, and he retired, and after he retired, fell off the roof and broke his back. So it happens. People get careless. and accidents.
There seems to be a theme here. I'm not going up on a roof anytime soon.
Yeah, you and I both. I've given up ladders and roofs.
I was going to say, people that know you're falling off roofs.
Yeah, not doing that. You're up.
I'm up. Okay. Oh, good segue there. Smooth transition. Let's see. A friend or relative moves in with you. I think of parents and who have college children who get out and you think they're gone, but they move back in. If you weren't planning on that, all of a sudden expenses get a little more expensive.
I believe that is called the boomerang generation. They get up, they go through college, they get their degree, they move out, and then within 5 to 10 years, they move back in. Just like a boomerang, they just keep coming back.
Your identity, there's a good one. This one happened to my wife and I the past couple of years. Someone has stolen our identity and has filed tax returns on our behalf. If Flora's listening, I apologize for this upcoming joke here, but their accountant is better than mine because they keep getting refunds on my tax return, and Flora keeps saying I owe. So I think I might go with my hacker's accountant.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, John.
Evicted from apartment. That's never happened. Have you ever evicted from apartment?
No. That never lived in an apartment.
You never lived in an apartment?
Never lived in an apartment.
Oh, my gosh. You missed all the fun.
I know. I'm deprived.
Wow. You discover your partner is cheating on you, and you feel uncomfortable living at home.
What?
Yeah. So you'd move out, and you would have to get an apartment or a hotel room, and that's an unexpected expense, but I'm pretty sure we could find some more common ones than what they did on this list here.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's not even in my top 50.
Your dream job comes along, but it requires a steep drop in pay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Would that be a dream job?
I remember that.
Oh, yours?
Yeah, mine. My one and only career change some 25 years ago, I was quite content working successfully in another field, well, related field, sort of. And an opportunity came up to buy out a business, and I kind of looked at it and said, you know, that would be a good long-term investment. But oh, by the way, dear, we won't have any income to speak of for several years. So therefore, things are going to get a little tight. And we did have an emergency fund. We did have savings. We did have other resources. And we lived on that for about 3 years. And in year four, you know, the pendulum went the other way, and we started making the kind of money I was used to making. And ever since, it's been great. And, you know, we've refilled all of the coffers that we emptied for that 3 years. But had I not had an emergency fund and other resources, it would have been an opportunity missed, because there's no way we could have gone from making what I was and having a house and a child and so forth to a career with no income for the foreseeable first 24 to 36 months. So it does happen. It happened to me, and best decision I ever made. So, you know, be prepared for it just in case.
Number 18, you find an amazing bargain on something you've looked for all your life, but it's still costly. Well, this would come down to a need or a want in our budget process that we have talked about.
Well, you know, there's that island, John, that I've, you know, always kind of, you know, fancied.
Well, that's a need.
It's a need. Yeah, definitely an island.
Because then I can visit.
Yeah, there you go. Got it.
Let's see. An unexpected professional change forces you to relocate. Well, actually, good friends of ours in Michigan, his company is doing a round of layoffs, and they asked him to consider taking a position in England.
Wow.
So, you know, now they're faced with that decision, and we visit them a couple times a year, and that will change dramatically because it's a lot easier to drive to Michigan than it is to fly
England?
To England.
Well, yeah, just get your dental work done first.
Yeah. So some of these are pretty good reasons, but the key here is the emergency fund is to plan for the unexpected. And actually, that's going to be our topic in March.
You have to expect the unexpected. And I would.
Would it be unexpected then?
I would. Well, it would be, because you're expecting it and it's unexpected, but when it happens, you expected it. So it's not unexpected.
I contend, you know, they say 3 to 6 months is a rule of thumb. If you can certainly do 6 months, if you can do more, especially nowadays, especially if you lose your job, it seems to be taking longer for people to find employment, especially find employment at the same level as you were alluding to when you left the engineering world and went into the financial planning world and the plan administration world. It took 4 years to kind of recoup, and we're seeing a lot of that now. And, you know, 6 months, if you can even do 12 months, you know, that's great. But you need to have that money set aside to take care of the unexpected.
I mean, yeah, and I would venture back to my top 20 probably would not be as catastrophic or drastic as many of the ones
that you mentioned.
I'm thinking more in terms of, as you mentioned, you know, lights got left on in the car and the battery's dead.
Yeah, the door was ajar.
Your door turned into a jar, and that caused the battery to deflate, so therefore you couldn't go anywhere.
Of course, my kids were jumping up and down saying we weren't going to go to school, and they didn't realize that you can take one car and charge up the other car and be on your way.
Yeah, well, they learned that one the hard way. but I'm thinking that tires, you know, blow out on the on your tire. Certainly, depending on the type of vehicle you have, may require replacing one, may require replacing. I ran into that once with an all-wheel drive where one tire blew out and it was unrepairable, so I had to replace all four tires to maintain the stability of the four-wheel drive and all of that. I'm not a mechanic, so I don't get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I understand that they have to be consistent in terms of tread depth and so forth. Things like that, or
even... Who knew this was going to turn into Auto 101?
Auto 101. Maybe it's Auto 01 instead of 101, but things that happen every day. You break a tooth. You know, anymore you go to the dentist, you know, you drop $100, $200 to repair a cracked filling, broken tooth, those types of things happen. When you least expect it, believe me, it's happened to me. Any type of losses that might occur, or maybe you just have an opportunity to join somebody to go out for a nice dinner, and you know, you're gonna drop $50, $100. If you don't have any money set aside, you probably shouldn't do it. You know, it goes back to the old budgeting. So know what you can do and you can't do. Have some money set aside for the emergency and take it from there.
So we are closing on the end of the month. The next show, we will wrap things up with what your financial plan should look like. But to kind of take a step back and do a little recap, first step, you got to have a budget. You know, our financial freedom model is pretty simple. As long as income exceeds expenses, you're going in the right direction, which means you can create more assets, which helps pay down debt. And that's the way you want the dominoes to flow. And that all starts with a budget. Once the budget is done, and you're in a situation where you do have more money at the end of the month, not more month at the end of your money, you can then build,
I like that.
You build into a retirement plan, and you get your retirement plan built out. That's a longer-term budget, if you will. And once that's done, that will back into how you should be investing your money, how your allocation should look. That's not the first decision. A lot of people jump right into the asset allocation piece, but you need to build and work your way into that so you know exactly what you're doing and you're not taking on more risk or investing in more stocks and more volatility. As we will see this year, that volatility will continue to be part of our lives. It's the new norm, as they say.
The new norm is volatility, and a lot of people are not used to that. They like consistency. They like to know that their portfolio is going to go up every year, which, of course, it isn't, and that they have consistency in the results. I was talking to someone who is a we deal with a lot of sole proprietors, small business owners. We have 13 of them in our building here in Edwardsville and have an opportunity to interface on a day-to-day basis. And one of them was telling me yesterday that she was so happy that when she started her practice, she put all of her expenses, her startup expenses, on credit cards. Not necessarily recommended. Would have been better if there was an emergency fund for that. But she invested in herself, in her business. That was a couple of years ago. And she finally, this month, the end of the year, actually paid off all of her startup costs. So now she is debt-free from a business standpoint. So she has whatever income she has coming in is hers to do with whatever she chooses. And aside from doing a remodeling project, making the decision to stay in their home for the foreseeable future and upgrade a few things, which happens every 15 to 20 years. You got to look at doing those things to keep it fresh, to replace the leaking faucets and drains and so forth. But I suggested to her, I said, have you thought about a retirement plan? And she goes, you know, that's a good idea. I don't know that she had thought of it, but at this point, having excess income, probably would make sense to put some money away for retirement, in addition to not only having it available in the future, but to also save taxes, because while her husband continues to work at a full-time job with a decent income, her extra money is being taxed at the highest bracket. So by putting that away, taking advantage of a 401k plan, she would be able to save taxes and put some money away for flexibility in the future. So you always have to, it's good advice to talk to your financial advisor about whatever situation, wherever you're at in your life, in terms of where you're going, the things you're thinking about. And I think they can be of great assistance in helping you to understand what the ramifications are of the decisions that you're making. That's all I got.
Okay. No, it's not. I know there's more. So you get the plan, and this is not something, you know, once you have the plan done, it's not something that it's just, you know, set it and forget it, if you will, because it changes. So you want to be updating your plan, as we talked about the last show. Double the amount of time that you're doing updates. So if you're not doing anything, get an update once a year. If you're doing it once a year, do it twice a year, because you know it's going to be a rocky roller coaster year, if you will. And it'll be good to keep that plan updated to give you peace of mind, so you don't start making decisions based on emotion. And then what we'll talk about next week, as I mentioned, is once you have the financial plan done, what should you expect? What information should you expect from it? What should it look like? How do you know that it's as reliable as a financial plan can be? Because we don't have that magical crystal ball to make everything set in stone. But there are ways to use your financial plan to make sure over time that you stay on the right course. And then February will be the month for
small business.
So we will have topics. We'll actually have a visitor in, a small business lender, to talk about, as we talked about this month on the individual side, the small business lender will be talking about how to set up and prepare, do your budget, and all the things that they need to help you start your small business.
And I will touch base on this again in February when we start talking about small business lending, but one thing I've learned over the years through experience, and that goes back to what we talked about one of the most recent prior shows, and dealing with your financial advisor, how much experience have they really had with life, with reality, with what's going on out there? Because if they're just starting out, God love them, you know, they're ambitious, they have hopefully good training, good intents, but if they hadn't experienced enough, they may not have all of the answers for you, because dealing with banks, dealing with investment institutions, lenders.
You're just a little bitter right now.
Lenders, if you will, and I could go into some very specific detail, but I will restrain myself, is
holding
that
them back, folks, holding them back.
You have goals that are at ends, because if you're running an efficient and effective business or businesses as we are, you do what you can to minimize taxes through investment, through upgrades, through improvements, through Section 179 depreciation, through different ways of spending the money, and it doesn't necessarily correlate directly into profit that you have to pay taxes on, although the income and the cash flow is there. And when banks look at that, they are looking for profit. So structuring the things that are most advantageous to you is not most advantageous if you want to get a loan. Believe me, I've been there more than once. And so I would say that you have to know if you can.
You can vent to me off air. I'll give you a shoulder.
Talking about expecting the unexpected, you have to plan well in advance of those needs, because what you do this year can and will affect your ability to transact business and do loans and such for the next 2 to 3 years to come. So I'll leave it at that, but we'll talk more with our friend Rob in February about the lending process.
So that takes care of the topic of the day, which then leads us into the final segment for this show, and time flies when you're having fun.
20 minutes left.
20 minutes left. We have the strange news story, and this is where you, the listener, get to participate We'll do a quick recap of the last two episodes, as we record two episodes per recording, so we'll go over those. The strange news story, the one news story no one voted on.
I didn't win.
And the second news story, I won. So I received a call from a Mr. David Penrod, who thought he had the answer to my little trivia question with the story of the baby, the twins that were born. The second one that was born ended up being older than the first one. And the way that worked out was the baby was born daylight savings time. So the first child came out right before daylight savings time. The second child came out just after daylight savings time. So the time of birth on the second's birth certificate was before the first one's.
And of course, this only happens in the fall, you realize.
So, I mean, I thought that was just a neat story because, I mean, the likelihood of that happening right then and there is pretty remote. And so there you have it.
Should have bought some lottery tickets.
So Mr. Penrod will receive a Financial Cafe t-shirt that he can wear proudly. And as I said, no one voted on our first show story, so I guess that wasn't very exciting.
Evidently, but we do have a couple more this time.
Yes. So my news story, and this is one of those ones where you look at it and you go, how did I not think of this? Especially for those of us that went through college, went into a fraternity, the story's about beer. So there's a lot of correlation with that, especially in my past. So if we look at the Swedish brewery Shower Beer, designed for shower drinking and conditioning. So here we have a Swedish brewery release a new beverage to optimize the experience of drinking in the shower.
Now that sounds like an idea that his time has come.
Now, I will admit, I have done this. I've had a beer in the shower. But I've never used the shower as a shampoo or a conditioner, and make any comment about my hair right now or lack thereof, I will turn this mic off.
I hope it was a plastic bottle.
The Pang Pang Brewery
in
Sweden teamed with creative agency SNAS to create this shower beer, a sweet but strong pale ale in a 6-ounce small bottle meant to gulp in 3 sips while standing in the shower getting ready for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more, folks.
That's how they do it in Sweden.
They got nothing else going on. As a brewer, I work long, hard days, and when I come home, I'm often covered in malt dust. The shower is a gateway back to normalcy. I made the shower beer small enough to keep its temperature during the shower. Nothing, you don't want a warm beer. Strong enough to mentally wash off your workday and get ready for a fresh night out. So he says the flavor profile was designed to be perfect for showering. The beer is heavily hopped with citrus and citrusy soap and somewhat herbal. He said the beer can also be put to practical use as a hair conditioner.
Does it grow hair, John?
Oh, if it did, I will be buying cases. Let's see. I designed a recipe so we can use a conditioner. So if you're looking good rather than feeling good, I've thought of you too. This is why I didn't get any. The first batch was only available in Sweden and sold out within minutes. So either it was a very small batch or there's a lot of people that drink in the shower in Sweden. But the second batch is on its way and will be available in the United States and Britain.
Really?
I'm going to get me some and just see how it works.
That's for the shower?
I have a little bit of hair.
Right.
I have a little bit of hair.
That's our shower joke for today, folks.
So that is my story for today, the Swedish brewery. So if you think that this is better than what Larry is about to share with us, please email us or go to our website, which is www.thefinancialcafe.us. And there is a contact tab there. Larry's email is on there. My email is on there. Send us one of us an email and saying that you liked my story. Or Larry's story. Well, and we will then send you a t-shirt.
A beer that you can drink in the shower and also use to wash your hair. That's a pretty good one. I have to give you that, John. Now, I'm trying to think of the two stories I have, which one I should put up against that.
This isn't a lightweight beer. It's 10%.
It's a 10% beer? Then why waste it on your hair?
And that's sneaking into wine level here.
I'm thinking, you know,
some but you're only getting 6 ounces.
Some of the shampoo, you know, it comes about a case, so yeah.
Interesting.
Some of the shampoos have a lot of alcohol, but I'm not sure I'd try drinking them either.
My college idea was a flavored pen cap.
Yeah.
At least back then, a lot of people chewed you had the Bic pen going, you know, dating mm-hmm. myself here, and yeah, chewed on the pen caps when you're in school. But then I learned about liability and choking hazards and things like that. Yeah. And so that idea, but this one, if I just, I could be a millionaire. I could be your client, Larry, if I had done that.
I had $1 million.
Anyway, I'd be rich.
Could have done it.
So, but I didn't. And here I am, folks, talking on the radio about
drinking
taking
a shower
with a beer.
Yeah, well, you've come so far, John. I just, you know, it is amazing. What a little work.
The progress I've made in my life.
The progress you have made, no doubt.
So I'm going to go home and drink a beer in a shower and think I'm back in college. How's that? When I had hair.
Yeah, good luck with that until the kids find out. So I think, I don't know, I got to go in opposite ends of the country. One is from Oregon. The other one is from South Carolina. So let's go with the Oregon one. It was discovered that... in this particular town in Oregon, you can Google it, I'm sure, and find it, that a goat, if you will, so it's not beer in a shower, but a goat had made his way into a drugstore.
I'm thinking he just insulted me, folks.
And in the drugstore, the goat was found on security cameras to have taken a liking to sweet and sour gumballs and had devoured pretty much the whole row of those. While they were in there. So I don't know what the moral of that story is, but goats will eat just about anything.
So was this goat hopped up on sugar?
I think so,
and that was
yeah.
pun intended. Get it? Hopped?
Yeah, they didn't elaborate as to what happened afterwards, other than they no longer are keeping the candy at the lower level, just in case, you know, they get invaded by squirrels or, you know, anything else. So it's an odd story. I don't think we see too many goats in the Midwest that have gone into the drugstore and are eating sweet and sour balls. But nevertheless, that's my attempt. So contact us again at the website, www.thefinancialcafe.us, LLEXO, that's LLEXOW, at Nickel, NICOL, financial.com, or Jay Graney, JGRANEY, at nickelfinancial.com. Tell us which of the two stories you think is the most... I guess strangest, the most unusual, and then listen in for the next show, and you can kind of figure out where we are in terms of where we're heading with as we digress with the Financial Cafe here on WSIE FM, The Sound.
Well, they moved us out to an hour, so we had to come up with some more topics. So this is what we came up with.
Yeah, they may move us back to 15 minutes by the time this is done, John. I don't know.
The whole premise of the show is we hope that we come across as a couple guys sitting in a cafe having a cup of coffee.
Drinking shower beer.
Or, you know, after we had our beer in the shower, then we're going to go and have a cup of coffee. But we're going to be sitting around discussing financial topics and in a relaxed environment. So it's not intimidating. You don't feel that, you know, we're talking over anyone's head or anything like that. So that's the purpose of the show. And, you know, we've been lucky enough that the radio station has given us this opportunity to provide common sense financial information with a good cup of coffee. I mean, that's basically it. So we have some time and let's provide some information on what we have coming up. Next week, we will talk about the investment part. We'll be talking about what's better, a strong dollar or a weak dollar? What does that even mean, especially as we head into a new administration? And President-elect Trump has said that he wants to weaken our dollar. Is that really a bad thing? We will then talk about the output, what your financial plan, once it's done, should be providing you. the information and so forth. You know, you provided the data to the planner, and they should be coming back to you with some pretty good information, some pretty good results, and what should that look like? And then, of course, we will have our strange story. And yes, again, my story for next week involves beer. Imagine that.
Why am I not surprised?
But the month of February will be small business. We will have certain topics that relate to small business owners. One, setting up the proper retirement plan. Two, how do you get loans? What is the small business loan? What are they going to be looking for? So we're going to have four topics on that for the month of February. The month of March is what to expect when the unexpected happens.
And it does happen.
You will be bringing in a guest in March.
Want
to talk about that?
I will, definitely bringing in for the unexpected that many of us certainly don't want to experience, but we will go through the basics of, you know, catastrophic events, how to prepare for them, and it's all part of a good, sound financial plan. So those are some things coming up the next month or two. And I want to touch on one of the things I ran across, meeting with two clients in the last week, which is not unusual. We meet with clients all the time. But for retirees, these were both retirees, and the number one, John, what do you think the number one, if I asked them, which I did, what is the number one concern of a retiree regarding their portfolio and their money today?
I am going to have more retirement at the end of my money.
Exactly.
To outlive, and that's a valid concern. It's always been a valid concern, but we are living longer nowadays than in the past. And if you plan for 15 years of retirement and it's now year 16.
That can be a problem.
That could be a problem.
Two thoughts on that, since you give me some more fodder for discussion. I saw an article yesterday. I was reading. It's quite surprising, frankly, to me, but when we talk about longevity, the average 65-year-old female is going to live to around 88 years old. You know, there's going to be some live longer, some less, but average 88-year-old, and the male probably around 86. You know, we still can't quite keep up, you know, a couple of years behind our female counterparts.
Oh, so many jokes just
But yeah, we'll pass that. But the thing that astounded me, it listed the top 20. I don't know, we're stuck on this top 20 for some reason. The top 20 industrialized nations around the world. And the U.S. came in for both male and female mortality at the last and second to the last place of the other 19 countries. The people in most of the other industrialized countries have a longer life expectancy than we do in the U.S. And that kind of perplexed me a little bit.
That shocks me.
It shocked me when I looked at it.
With all the healthcare and technology that we have here.
Well, reading through the article, I'll surmise it. And again, you can go out and Google it, I'm sure. But the fact that the U.S. is so competitive, that we have so many challenges, as they talk about, and I had to laugh yesterday on the news, they were talking about unusually high levels of toxic stress. There's a good word for you, John. Toxic stress. I never knew.
Is that the new buzzword?
Stress was toxic.
There's non-toxic stress.
There is toxic stress. Well, there is non-toxic stress, but toxic stress. And yesterday on the news, they were talking about toxic stress on kids before they go to kindergarten. And I'm like, what? When, you know, before I went to kindergarten, I had a couple of things to concentrate on: eating, playing, and, well, you know the other one. And it's not sleep. So that toxic was about stress. It. So they were talking about, you know, counseling sessions for these younger kids below kindergarten and into the first kindergarten, first, second, third grade, dealing with the toxic stress. And most of that stress was created and caused by their family environment. The mom and dad working and stressing about work and so forth. But getting back to retirees, they don't want to run out of money.
Was this article written by, like, the Psychology Association of America or something like that? I don't even know if that's a real organization, but you know where I'm going with this.
I do, and, yeah, it may have been self-serving. I'm not sure, but, you know, look that up, about toxic stress, because that's something I guess we all deal with. whether you want to call it that or not. But my retirees pretty consistently, as John indicated, the main concern, the I'd say 98% of the time, is running out of money. And if we
good thing we're not giving advice in other countries, because our jobs will be harder because people are living
they
longer.
They live longer, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're only planning at 86.
Just a joke, folks. Just a joke.
86 for you and 88 for you. If you live past that, sorry, but you know that's all there is. So running out of money is number one. And what is the second biggest concern that you think I've run into with clients when I ask them what their concerns are for retirement?
Medical expenses.
Medical's in the top five, but it wasn't number two.
That's all I got.
Silence.
As like I said,
silence.
I have lack of sleep, and I'm on my first cup of coffee.
Golden.
I didn't know I was supposed to answer
that's
questions.
That's a song. Yeah, in other words, I didn't tell him there was going to be a quiz, but I'm kind of like that. The number two is having money left over after they depart this world.
Oh, see, that wouldn't even register because the last check's going to bounce for me.
Well, it may. And
the Undertaker's and getting hosed.
There are some friends of mine that is their goal, that the Undertaker's check bounces. But yeah, so number one is not running out of money. Number two is having enough left to be able to pass on to the next generation. Those are two topics that we certainly can and do address in terms of the financial planning process. So with that in mind, we'll be talking more about that in terms of your financial plan, terms of different ways of doing it, different solutions, how it relates to. And John, this is the first show maybe ever, yeah, because we started in July, that we haven't mentioned the fiduciary rule. It is coming. Something's coming in April, and we continue to follow it, and it will relate to satisfying those two goals of our clients, not running out of money and how you go about achieving that result and then having some money left over using various tools and capabilities we have so that the money lasts even longer than they do to be able to pass on to the second generation. As I spoke to a client yesterday about her investment, and the goal was, well, do you want to grow this for your lifetime or do you want to grow it to pass on to your grandchild? The answer was my grandchild, but if I need it at some point in retirement, then I want it available. Well, those are two different objectives. So how do we both provide a sum of money to pass on to the grandchild for their well-being in this particular case, as well as the capability of additional income during the lifetime of the grandparent, in this case, taking care of or accepting responsibility for providing some income to the grandchild. So there's a lot of different scenarios that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and it's just a matter of determining what they are using our, I'll go back to it again, John, experience and background in terms of different planning techniques. There are a lot of tools in terms of trusts, in terms of insurances, in terms of positioning of assets to maximize the amount of money both for the individual during their lifetime and the amount of money to be passed on to the next generation, and I might say with minimal tax consequences, because there was an interesting article, again, I read yesterday, I do a lot of reading, that an individual had an annuity that was being passed on to the next generation, or their intent was, they didn't need it for income, and in the event of an annuity where the majority of the money is subject to tax when it is liquidated, to the next generation, there are ways of avoiding that in terms of potentially transferring or doing a 1035 exchange of the annuity into a modified endowment contract. There is some taxable event at the time, but it's a multiplier of the value of the annuity for the individual that is beneficiary with no tax due at the death. So there's a lot of unique planning tools that we have available that will allow us the opportunity to do that. So thanks again to WSIE-FM, The Sound, Steve Jankowski and Daryl, our engineer, for giving us the opportunity to bring some hopefully interesting stories, some financial information, some planning, current topics, all the things relating to success, because our goal is to help each of our clients to reach success in terms of planning their retirement and planning for their family's future, however many generations that might span down the road. because that's what we like to do.
And we wanted to thank our listeners as we make this transition to the new format. You know, we're still working out the timing of all of this, so we have added some tangential topics and have gone off track a little bit, but it's all good information. And as we get a little more experience with this moving out to an hour, we will certainly be able to stay on task a little bit better. But we appreciate your patience as we try and grow and hopefully provide you with the information that that you need to have in order to have a successful retirement and all of that good stuff. But yes, thank you to the Chef Shop for sponsoring us and continuing to sponsor us.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at llexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.